There are 16 Republican candidates for the presidency, including Mr. Trump, Mr. Walker, but there's an equally fascinating drama playing out for the Democratic presidential nomination. Wisconsin and I asked several Democratic legislators to come in and talk about that fascinating drama between Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, and Joe Biden. And I'm so glad five Democratic members of the Assembly. I asked senators, they just didn't, okay, but that's their problem. So I want to thank Representative Dana Walks from Eau Claire, who represents the 91st District. I want to thank Representative Mark Spreitzer from Beloit, who represents the 45th District. Representative Jocasta Zamarripa represents the 8th District in Milwaukee. Representative Jonathan Brostoff represents the 19th District in Milwaukee. And Representative Gary Hebel, the 46th District in Sun Prairie. Thank you very much for coming in. Show of hands, how many of you are now committed to Hillary Clinton? Two, and the rest of you not yet committed?
That's right.
Well, let's start with Hillary Clinton. I'm fascinated. This week's polls, I'm just reading from the YouGov CBS poll in New Hampshire. Mr. Sanders, Bernie Sanders, 52%, Hillary 30%, Joe Biden 9%, Iowa, Sanders 43%, Clinton 33%, Biden 10%, and Hillary Clinton wins in South Carolina 46-23 over Sanders, 22% for Biden. So let's begin with a general discussion. Has former Senator, former Secretary of State Clinton not had a good summer, and are you surprised by that? Joe, you were one of those that held up your hands as a Clinton supporter. So yes. Can you go first?
Well, I don't agree with that statement. That I think Hillary is doing just fine. I think she's the candidate to beat.
Okay.
And I think she just needs to continue to campaign. She was just in Wisconsin last week.
Last week.
And in the end, she's going to rise up and be our nominee.
So you're not troubled by her drops in the polls?
I'm not. I think it's early on.
Yes.
And certainly there's some formidable opponents in the Democratic primary now, with good folks like Vice President Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders. But again, in the end, I believe that the cream will rise to the top.
Dana, you also held up your hand?
Yeah, I endorsed Hillary a couple of months ago. I think that it's hard to find a more qualified human being that is capable of being president than her. I mean, she has lived through 8 years of the White House. She's been the Secretary of State. She was the United States Senator for New York. I think she is a credible candidate. She is a candidate in detail, in depth on the issues, and she's capable of being president. Now, has she had a rough summer? Yeah, she had a rough summer, but really because of a trumped-up non-issue. These emails really are a non-issue, but it's brought to the forefront because there's a lot of heavy hitters on the Republican side that are very concerned because I don't think they can beat her in the end. And so they're going to bring these issues out. Fox News and outlets like that are going to high point that as much as they can. And it's really unfair because I think it's a non-issue, and she will get through this, and I believe she will be the nominee. I have to say, though, you know, Bernie Sanders and these other folks are credible and very nice and good-hearted people. Obviously, if someone else is the nominee, we will all fall in behind that person. But I endorsed Hillary early on because it's critical that we win the presidency this time.
Mark or Jonathan or Gary, your comments on watching Hillary's drop in the polls, because, you know, two of your peers are all Hillary now, excuse me.
Sure. I've heard my colleagues speak, and I agree that Hillary is an extremely qualified candidate, and I think she would make an excellent president. There's no doubt in my mind about that. I think what concerns me, first of all, it's way, way too early.
Yeah.
We're a year and a half away from, a year away from the election, 6 months away from the primaries. And you're seeing the polls. And frankly, the polls don't really mean a lot. It's really a popularity contest. And there's going to be so many things that will change over the next 6 months. But I'm very, very interested. And frankly, I'm a political junkie. So I get home at night and I just love watching this with my wife. And she's actually more political than I am. But we watch this stuff. And we're just enthralled by watching Hillary. And Hillary, I tell you, I always want her on my side because she is a tough, tough person, candidate and person. I think she's got, again, credibility that is beyond belief. And so I'm very supportive of her. But I want to see how this plays out. I mean, I look at Bernie Sanders as kind of a facsimile to our fighting Bob La Follette. You know, if you look back at our history, that's the kind of guy that Bob La Follette was, a very popular person among the working class, the people of society. I'm also very interested to see about Joe Biden. And I think Joe Biden is at the candy store. You can't quite get a touch of him yet. But when you get him, when you eat the candy, well, you knew what you had. But it's so exciting to think that he might get in. And frankly, I think the best thing for the democratic process is to have all viable candidates running. I don't like this coronation idea, and frankly, it's not going to happen, where we have Hillary just walking in and getting the nomination. I think she'll be strengthened as a candidate by debates, by discussions, by these issues, such as she's facing right now. That makes her a better candidate and certainly will make her a better president.
Thank you. Jonathan, and then Mark. Jonathan?
Sure. Well, I also don't exactly agree with the assessment that she's, you know, done so terribly. I think it's more a reflection on people really getting fired up for Bernie Sanders, and I think people are excited about what he's bringing to the table. And, you know, quite frankly, I think it's a message that resonates outside of just Democratic primary. I think it's things that people all across our country are talking about and are, you know, unfortunately feeling in their pocketbooks. And I am also waiting to see, you know, how things play out, and I'd like to hear a little more on the foreign policy side, although I've liked what Bernie Sanders has had to say on that front as well so far, but it's early yet, as, you know, Gary mentioned. But yeah, I really think it's just a reflection of how exciting of a candidate he is, how much energy he's bringing to the table. Not that he's saying anything new. This is the same message he's been repeating for years.
Yes.
I think it's just we've gotten to, you know, the place in our country where the, you know, wealth gap is unfortunately become very significant and one of the top issues among people all across the country. And I would like someone who's going to address those issues at the top, you know, leading our country forward, and someone who can take on the wolves of Wall Street instead of getting devoured by them, as so often happens, not just this time around, but I think we've seen a lot of that in the past. And I also have to say that I'm also very excited for Hillary. I'm glad that she's been talking about the Black Lives Matter movement as well. I'm glad that she's brought up issues of, you know, debt-free education. I think that's fantastic. And, you know, she's bringing home a lot of issues that resonate as well. And I think whoever the nominee is will have a ton of support, and I'm confident that they'll win the general. But, you know, it's a great field. I'm really fired up for Bernie Sanders, but it's early. We'll see what has to take place as these debates move forward and as we learn a little bit more. But I think on foreign policy, he's given a solid message so far. And I think on domestic policy, his economic populism and populism is, you know, very, very well earned. And he, you know, he keeps it real. And I think we need some of that these days.
Thanks for your patience, Mark. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I think I agree with Gary and Jonathan. We've got a real race here, and that's good for the Democratic Party. There's a lot of ideas that are being discussed that I think resonate with voters and that mirror things that we've been talking about here in Wisconsin, how to grow the middle class and help people to earn a living wage, how to have a sane foreign policy that makes sure that we can try to have peace around the world and promote our interests in a diplomatic way. And those are ideas that are coming to the forefront because of this debate in this primary. And you know, obviously Hillary's had a challenging time. I think it's hard to come in as the front runner, which she clearly did, and then maintain the excitement over such a long period of time. And that's one of the problems with these elections starting earlier and earlier, is I think people get fatigued of hearing about them. And people pretty much made up their minds about her coming in. She's one of the most known quantities to run for president. People know who she is. They have their opinions. And it's hard to keep up that excitement. And obviously Bernie Sanders has had a great opportunity to introduce himself to the country, and he's resonated, and we've got a real race. If Joe Biden does get in, I think we'll have a three-person race that really is a serious contest, and I don't know what's going to happen. I think it's way too early for me to think about making an endorsement. I want to see how things play out, and there'll be obviously several states that vote before it gets to Wisconsin, and a lot of time for things to change.
Jocasta and Dana, since you're committed to Hillary, let me ask you this follow-up question. Are you concerned that Bernie Sanders, his issue of income inequality, is not enough to potentially get him elected president? Should he be the nominee? Who wants to go first?
Well, I think that there's no question that there is a disparity in incomes in the United States. I think Hillary Clinton is also dealing with that issue. She's talking about increasing the minimum wage. She's talking about strengthening union power in the United States. Functionally, the unions have been the advocates and creators of the middle class. And I think that's a, right now we're out of tilt. I mean, the United States economy is overemphasizing the top 1 or 2%. They've been getting most of the money for the last 20 years. There's been a continual and endless movement of wealth from most of society to a top tier pinnacle. And I think both Hillary Clinton and Mr. Sanders are speaking to that issue regularly. There's no question. I think that's a issue of commonality among the Democrats, and I think that's something that needs to be addressed.
The Republicans, though, Joe, would say that Bernie Sanders is a socialist. If he's the nominee, would that give him major problems being elected president, do you think?
Well, I think Bernie's done a great job, you know, as we've already, everybody's mentioned, addressing this issue of income inequality. I think he has handled in his addressing the Black Lives Matter movement, I've been really impressed with the way he's handled that. But whether or not he would be able to withstand a general election, he's absolutely progressive, very, very left. People do want that. I mean, we saw people here in Madison a couple of months ago when he came. I was really floored. I didn't think there would be
Jonathan
that many
crowd.
People show up.
It was shoulder to shoulder.
Several members of the Senate and Assembly Democratic caucuses were there to see Bernie, and I really was floored. I didn't think there would be that many folks there.
Well, if Bernie Sanders was a nominee, would there be any problem with those committed to Clinton backing Bernie? Any problem?
I don't think there's a problem. I think the Democrats are going to support whoever the nominee is. The problem we have with Bernie Sanders being the nominee is that because of Citizens United, there's been a total influx of cash from all over the place. We've got candidates now that are spending more time raising money than discussing the issues. And we have Bernie Sanders, frankly, who is discussing the issues and not concerned about fundraising. That's the way democracy should be working. The unfortunate part of this election is that if Bernie Sanders is the nominee, it's going to be a very difficult road for him to win the presidency because of Citizens United. And so that's the grave concern I have for someone like Bernie Sanders being the nominee, because it's extremely important, more than anything else, that we have a Democratic president.
Jonathan, do you agree? Because it sounds like you're the one that's closest. You would like to be able at some point to endorse Bernie, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be happy with, either. But, yeah, I'm right now, if the vote were today, that would be who I'd be supporting, absolutely. And I could not agree more with Gary's statement. I think Citizens United has been, money in politics has been such a, horrible, usurping of the best of our country. And, quite frankly, when you have the Koch brothers committed to spending $1 billion on this election, it just goes to show how out of whack everything is when two people have that much influence. It is not what this country's about. It is not what our founding fathers imagined. And things have clearly gone out of whack. And I'll say this. I agree. He's not as concerned with fundraising. That's obvious. And, there's a lot of ways to reflect that. But I'll also say that I've worked on enough campaigns now where I've seen at the local, state, there's really good candidates who, if you have a great candidate and enough energy, you can defeat money, I would say, 9 out of 10 times. I still believe that. I think, there's only a certain amount of, mailers and TV ads that people are going to buy. At the end of the day, they look to their pocketbooks. They look to what's happening in their community. They look to the cuts in education. They look to the income inequality that they're suffering through, or the student debt that their kids have to go through that they didn't, have to suffer. So you know, I completely agree, but I also think that's exactly what we need, and that's why I'm so fired up. I want to defeat Citizens United. If it's not through the courts, let's show them through our polls. Let's show them through the election. Let's show them that we can beat these billionaires, a billionaire class that wants to, you know, pollute our lands, sell out our public education, and, you know, privatize everything for their short-term benefit at the cost of our community. So I'm fired up, and I think Bernie's a great candidate for that reason.
Are the issues of billionaires self-funding some of the Republican candidates, some of the issues that Jonathan just said, is that resonating with the people that, with the voters that you represent? Is it? You're shaking your head,
so.
Gary?
I think,
Mark?
So. And the reason I say that is because of Donald Trump.
Look what's going on there. You know, you've got somebody who's self-funding his campaign. And that's resonating with Republicans especially, the idea that this guy can say and do whatever he wants. And I think people are sick and tired of all this money being spent on ads and not really getting to the issues. And they are really concerned, bottom line, as to what the effect is going to be on their personal lives. Mm. And it's been devastated by what's going on.
Mark, you also shook your head?
Yeah. Absolutely. I certainly hear from people that are frustrated with money in our politics, the fact that whether it's billionaires giving to people or billionaires running themselves, it's the idea that an ordinary person may not be able to run for high office because it takes that kind of money. I do also agree, though, that if you can really connect with people, it's still possible to overcome that. Mm-hmm. We need to change the rules and get money out of politics, but we also need to find people who can excite the electorate and connect with voters in a real personal way and overcome that money. And I think whoever wins the primary will have had to do that. It certainly takes money to win a primary, and the point about it being early and the polls don't necessarily translate into votes. We've certainly seen that before. It takes money to build an infrastructure to actually win those caucuses and those primaries, and the polls can change a lot in that regard. So if Bernie Sanders is able to get nominated, it will mean that he's either created enough excitement or figured out how to put in place that infrastructure to overcome that. And if Hillary's nominated, it will mean the same thing. So either way, I think we're going to have a candidate that's ready for the general election.
Dana, I think you told me at Democratic State Convention, you started knocking on doors when you like 9 or 11 or something?
I was 9 years old. That's my mother came in and she asked me, what am I doing? It was a Saturday morning. And I slipped off to her and I said, well, I'm 9, it's Saturday morning, I'm eating cereal. And she said, oh, no, you're not. You're going to go lick stamps for Hubert Humphrey. And so I've really been involved since I was about that age.
So that's my question. Is the issue of the billionaires on the other side catching on?
Well, I think that
with your constituents?
I think people understand that this is the most important presidential election probably of our lifetimes. If the next president isn't a Democrat, then there will be one or two additional conservatives added to the United States Supreme Court. If we want to address Citizens United, now is the time to address it. The next president, if it's Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders or Joe Biden or O'Malley, they're going to appoint people to the United States Supreme Court that understand the implications and ramifications of something like Citizens United. We have to at some point decide, do we want to have a republic? Or do we want to have a democracy or a republic akin to what's going on in Russia? I mean, we've got to understand the importance of the issues that are facing this country right now, and it's really going to come down to the focal point of this election.
Okay. I want to introduce, I think Joe Biden is a Shakespearean figure. I mean, his son's dying wish, run for president, Dad, and then he does a Labor Day parade and he's bouncing around, he looks like a candidate. Then he goes on 2 talk shows and he says, I'm just not there. And you can see the agony and the pain in his face. Mm-hmm. You're a leader of Assembly Democrats. If Joe's on the phone and he says, Joe Casta, should I run? How do you answer?
Oh, my goodness.
I know that puts you on the spot.
Listen, I think very highly, of course, like we all do, of Vice President Joe Biden. I think he's going through a tough time now with the recent passing of his son, Beau. It's very tragic. You're absolutely right. It's very Shakespearean. I hope I don't get that call because I'm ready to elect the first woman president of the United States of America.
Okay. Anybody else you get the call?
Sure.
Gary.
Sure. I tell Joe, you've got to run.
Really?
Yeah. Joe, I want you to run. And the reason I want you to run is this, is that right now, I mean, Hillary's got some issues here that frankly I don't believe are valid, but I would like to have the discourse. And Joe, frankly, would not run if Hillary wasn't faltering. But I don't think in the end Hillary's going to have a problem. I think she's going to be the nominee, and I think she's going to be the next president of the United States. But I want Joe there to work Hillary to be a better candidate. I want Joe to be the foil that gets her over the hump. People are going to say, wow, Hillary can deal with opponents even on her own side. She's going to be really sharp on the issues. And I think there's a real danger, even us in the assembly, there's a real danger in walking into election knowing you're going to win. Because we would be better representatives, better candidates, if we had opposition. And so I really think that Joe would be fantastic. And frankly, Joe was waiting on the sidelines and very likely would not even have a chance, wouldn't even be discussing Joe had she not been falling in the polls. Now he's a viable option. I don't think Joe would get the nomination, but I think he would make Hillary a much better candidate.
Jonathan, Joe Biden on line one.
Well, I think, I like the Shakespearean reference. You know, if I could paraphrase Puck, you know, if through my words I have offended, heed my apology and twill be mended is, you know, very Joe Biden, I think, sentiment. But, yeah, I think he's got to do what's in his heart. If it's not there for him and he knows himself better than anyone else, I would encourage him to do whatever his intuition says. And that's, you know, all the candidates I work with, that's my thing. I mean, it's more of a strain on you and your family and in your own personal life than anyone else. And it's got to be a very personal, individual decision. But I think he's done a lot of great service for the community. I think he's done a great job of making our president look fantastic by contrast in his current role. And I think he, should do whatever his heart tells him.
Mark, the vice president's on line one. He needs your advice.
I would tell him if he's ready to run, he should run. I think he said it himself best when he was on Stephen Colbert, and just the idea that you've got to really be ready to put everything into it, and he knows that better than anybody else. He's run for president twice before. I think if he gets in, he'd be an absolute credible candidate. I can certainly understand if he decides that he just doesn't have it in him to do it right now, but I think he's got to make that decision, and if he thinks that he's got it and wants to go all in and try to do this, then he should get in, and it would be a great race. I think he would add to an already outstanding field, and we would have some really great options for president. But I certainly understand if he says, you know, there's just I want to do it, but it's not the right moment. That's a decision only he can make.
Okay, do endorse for Humphrey at age 9. Take the call from the vice president.
Well, how about them Packers?
That's not an answer.
No, I Joe Biden is. A wonderful man. He's very bright. He's very experienced. Been in the United States Senate for I don't know how many terms since he was like 29 or 30
right. And then he lost his wife.
He's
John.
Been through so much, so many things that we all would dread and fear, and it's like a nightmare what this person has been through. So he's been honed by fire. He's very sharp. He's very credible. But I think the time. Now is Hillary Clinton's time. I think she is the right leader at this time to do what needs to be done. And I think that, I will clearly be supporting her. But if he wants to run, heavens, who are we to say no to the vice president?
Joe Costa, are you afraid that a three-way would be pretty divisive and undercut Hillary if she is the eventual nominee, Biden, Sanders, and Hillary?
No, I think in the end it'll help her. There's two guys. And a girl running.
Okay.
I think that bodes well for my candidate, and so I just don't feel no fear right now.
Okay. One other question: how important is it to have a Democrat in the White House when, excuse me, but your party is out of power in our capital? How important is it to have a Democrat in the White House when you're in the minority?
It's very important.
Why?
Well, because the national policy is set there, but it does affect state policy. You know, last year, I remember in November, we had two decisions of the Supreme Court that I thought would never occur. One is that they threw out the voter ID. They said, in Wisconsin, you can't, it's too late. And then they threw out our gay marriage ban in the same week. And I thought, wow, thank God we've got a Supreme Court that can sort out the problems we have in Wisconsin. And I, as inefficient, as inappropriate the Congress is, and unable to do anything, having our president taking action on certain things it makes it easy for us at the state level to at least deal with the difficult problems that we have. So it is extremely important to me to have some leadership at the national level to affect decisions that occur in the state.
Any other examples of issues that you've reached the White House on, Jonathan?
Absolutely. I mean, I think one of the biggest issues, as mentioned earlier, was, you know, the fact that conversely, although, you know, we're not talking about any of the Republicans right now, we have one candidate who said he's going to proactively seek to destroy unions in our country. And, you know, I was hand-delivering some state activity books yesterday, and one of the gentlemen I spoke with, who's a neighbor and a friend, Bob, who was a UAW guy his whole life, and he's, you know, now retired, but he was saying, you know, before unions in this country, we didn't have a middle class, and you know, he's saying, doggone it, after unions are gone, we're not going to have one. We need someone who respects our unions, respects that it helps raise the wages, not just for union members, but for people all across the board, because it makes it more competitive. Conversely, get rid of unions, it gets less, you know, they're kind of in a downward spiral. So I would like to have someone, you know, like Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton, who has respect for our unions, who is going to push that issue. And conversely, I think it's wildly important when you have someone who's, you know, proactively talking about trying to destroy them and get rid of them. And if we want to rebuild the middle class, we want to address the wage gap. Unions are vital to that, and we need someone at the top level who understands that and is going to be there shoulder to shoulder as this struggle continues.
Okay. Well, we only got a. It's a very busy day in the Capitol, and I want to respect all your other commitments. So I think my final round of questioning is okay. Now you've been very good, thank you. We haven't talked about the Republicans, so I have two final questions for each of you. Are you surprised that Donald Trump leads in the polls, and who do you think will be the Republican nominee? Do you want to go first?
Sure,
Representative Hebel.
I'm really not surprised that Donald Trump is leading in the polls, only because of his ability to say whatever he wants and not be affected by that. He's the bully on the playground. He's the one that kids are afraid of, the other candidates are afraid of, because he can be critical of them and they are not able to come back. He's got the ability to do that. And unfortunately, those are not the traits that we want in our president. So in the short term, he's popular, but in the long term, he's gonna fizzle. And I think, frankly, he's got a 5% chance of being the nominee for the Republican Party. I do think the most likely nominee will be Jeb Bush, followed by John Kasich, and frankly, Scott Walker is a dark horse.
Okay. Jonathan?
Sure. I'm not
on
sure.
On Donald Trump, and then who you think will be the nominee?
Well, I don't know who the nominee will be, but on Donald Trump, I have to say it's been fascinating to watch his numbers rise, because after he says horribly racist stuff about our Latino brothers and sisters, his numbers shoot up. He says things that, first of all, I would hope would destroy him in a general election and should make him completely unelectable. But in a Republican primary, we're dealing with Republican primary voters, those racist, horrible statements he makes somehow have increased his popularity. It's like a weird Twilight Zone episode or something. So I don't know who it's going to be. I don't care. They're going to lose. And I look forward to Hillary Clinton or, you know, Bernie Sanders being our nominee. And I look forward to having the issue of wage disparity addressed at the national level.
You don't think the GOP nominee is going to be Mr. Trump, do you, Jonathan?
I think it's possible. I think it's unlikely. But, you know, I agree with what Gary said. He has a little bit of freedom that some of the other politicians who are trying to go after the Koch brothers' money and, you know, quite frankly, have to be beholden to them. He has a little bit of freedom that they don't enjoy, but he also has just said horribly racist, you know, terrible things, and I have no doubt that he would not be successful in a general election.
Joe, on the emergence of Donald Trump and whether you think, or who you think might be the nominee, please.
So I try to almost never discuss Donald Trump. I've been very, very offended and just aghast at what has come forth with his candidacy, as you can imagine, as a member of the Latino community here in Wisconsin. I heard on public radio today Christian Schneider, a conservative columnist
for the Journal Sentinel.
Yes, he indicated that he feels that it'll be Marco Rubio.
Okay.
Senator Rubio, who ends up getting the nomination.
Okay.
And I got to tell you, as much of a pain in the neck that would be for me, there was a certain amount of, I felt like that would be some validation of the growing Latino electorate in this country, if in fact we make sure we don't, the Republican voters don't elect Trump as their nominee and, in fact, elect a Latino conservative. To me, that's some vindication for our Latino electorate.
But Trump's candor and his comments so offend you that you don't discuss them. Joe Castor.
I've gone back and forth. I haven't addressed it in social media. I haven't written any columns. So far, I haven't wanted to feed that frenzy. But yeah, it's been something that I've taken it very personally, and I continue to decide what I'm going to do and how I can be helpful, but not wanting to feed that fodder.
Thank you. Mark, please.
I haven't so much been surprised by Donald Trump's rise as how long it's lasted. I think there's a tendency for each of the candidates to have their moment, and he certainly has had the freedom to say really offensive and off-the-wall things because he doesn't have a background in politics, and I think he's running more on his own personal brand than really as a Republican. But what's been damaging the Republican primary is that so many of the other candidates have been rushing to endorse his ideas and really
right.
pushing themselves even further to the fringe than they already were. I think in terms of who's going to end up with the nomination, if you'd asked me several months ago, I probably would have said Jeb Bush or Scott Walker. Right now, I think neither of those is very likely. I would say John Kasich or Marco Rubio. I think either one of them, they haven't necessarily had their moment yet, and I think they both have some ability to appeal to different pieces of the Republican Party, and I think any of the possible Democratic candidates can beat them, but one of those two, if I had to bet right now, will be the nominee on the Republican side.
Thanks, Mark. Dana, you want to wind it up?
Well, I think Trump is a caricature of what a presidential candidate should be, and it's somewhat disturbing that he's as high as he is in the polls, and I'm not sure what that says about people in general. So I think he's an offensive character, and I think that he won't be the nominee on their side. I think it'll be Kasich or Bush, in my opinion.
Very good.
And I think that we will win in the end. I think the Democratic nominee, I think Hillary Clinton or Mr. Sanders, Senator Sanders, will win this fall.
Okay, very good. Well, you all have to scoot off to your meeting, so I want to thank Representative Dana Walks and Mark Spritzer and Joe Castor-Zamarripa, Jonathan Rostoff, and Gary Hebel. Thank you very much for your time. You suggested early that it's very early, so maybe you all should come back, and maybe I can get a few Democratic state senators this
time. I'd love to do it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thanks.
You bet.